Huge thank you, Charles and Tanner, for creating this beautiful venue for us. Delighted that this is the first event that's being had here. And for Why Talks, for creating an opportunity for me to reflect on what is my relationship to land. And I also will refer to my notes because I've written four versions of this talk, and the last one came through yesterday at about 3 o'clock. So yes, I spend most of my time building resilient local food systems. Preparing for this talk has been an incredible opportunity to reflect on what is my relationship to land and what are the influences that have got me to that point. In 2001, I was in the south of France. I'd been away from New Zealand for 5 years. And my partner at the time had 2 weeks in hospital getting a knee operation. And I was alone. I didn't know French very well, so I kind of bunkered down in the apartment. And I took the opportunity to reflect on my life and all the things that I've done and all the places that I've lived, and that's been quite a lot. My parents moved enormously through my childhood. I went to 13 different schools before I finally got to the last one out in Massey. And I mapped them all out on a spreadsheet because, you know, I'm a geek and that's what I do. And what I got clear about was that the times that I felt most fulfilled were the times that I was on the land and growing food. So I thought, well, this is a good time to start a new diary and make some affirmations about what I want in my life. And so I started with 2 pages of what I don't want, like work 9 to 5 and wear a business suit. And then I listed 3 pages of all the things that I wanted. And they went something like this. I want to live somewhere where there's clean air, clean water, healthy food, conscious, intelligent people making wise choices about their life and their relationship to their environment, where I can sleep at night with the windows open and wake to the sound of the birds, where I can grow food, where I can use my skills in support of the community, and go paragliding because that's my recreation. And some of you may know that I did a little experiment with that on Onatangi Beach, running a tandem paragliding business for a couple of seasons, which was a lot of fun. And 2 days later, the email came. I've just purchased an 8-acre organic orchard on Waiheke, wrote Tim. And if you want to come and do a little work in the orchard, I'll put the wine and the food on the table and you can stay as long as you like. So I went back to my diary and I went tick, 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 tick. And it was a real reflection of something that's happened many times in my life where, I learned this when I was very young. I was just about to leave school and I'd read Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking. And there was a phrase in there and it was that whatever your mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And I'd put this out to the universe and 2 days later, it came back to me. So that's how I ended up here on Waiheke. It's been an incredible journey of discovery the last 14 years. And because I spent a big chunk of my early years between the age of 23 and 38 in a religious spiritual community, a renunciate community pretty much, I wasn't particularly connected to the world and I didn't really understand how the world was working and what the major challenges and problems might be in the world, but I was starting to get a little bit of sense of them. So I chose to learn about all of these things through documentary film, and in fact 1 year I watched 160 hours of documentary film. And it gave me a really good sense of the geopolitics, the environmental issues, population growth, issues of access to land, food, ecology, water, energy, and so on. And while paddling around the island just before my daughter Zuva was born in 2006, and yes, I saw some of those cliffs, Ivan, that are very degraded or at least covered in weed. But I also saw the transport ferries coming in with the trucks that were bringing our imported produce and bringing it to the supermarket shelves. And I thought, well, you know, this is not particularly sustainable. And you know, and it might not seem so bad, except when you look at the globalized industrial food system that's supplying that food to us, it has an extraordinary impact. I came across some data recently that I found quite hard to comprehend, but see if you can hold this figure in your mind, because it's a good one to quote. We are currently losing 25,000 million tons of food-growing soil from our planet into the ocean every year. If you struggle with that and want to put that in context, the USA, since it began agriculture about 100 years ago, has lost a third of its topsoil. Okay. We're losing 15 million acres of farmland every year. So, you know, I heard listener Ivan there, and he's talking about some of the issues that, you know, you learnt about back in the 70s. They're still there. So it was clear to me that the presence of healthy local food systems offers many, many benefits, and one of them obviously is protecting our soil, which feeds us. Yeah, we all came from it, we'll all go back to it. It's a crucial part of how we get to survive. So I initiated some local food projects on the island, started two community gardens. Kato blessed the community garden in Ostend. Back in around 2005, I think, or six, or somewhere there. And then the Blackpool Community Garden. Then started the food trading table at the Ostend Hall. Maybe you've seen the grow table there. So I was looking to find ways that we can start to build that resilience back into our own local system. And then in 2006, Transition Towns came along, and with Kim's support, my lovely long-suffering partner, who had just sold a house, was able to support me as I entered 2 years of voluntary work helping to build local resilient communities around the country. And we, over 2 years, we established 50 transition initiatives throughout the country. And then in 2008, Pete Russell came along. He had one particular vision, but was quickly turned around by a lovely and very timely visit by Sue Kedgley, who gave him some insights into the global food system. And we talked about how could we build local food systems that could distribute food from out of our own backyards. Well, it turns out there wasn't much in our backyards, but you know, it was an interesting starting point for what has become a really quite a successful social enterprise business. In 2013, the idea of food forests was starting to become quite popular, and I spent some time building the knowledge and sharing ideas around that. Also had support from some lovely people in this crowd here today on that one. But effectively, a food forest is a multi-layered system of mostly perennial plants. Okay, so it's another way of growing food that doesn't require turning the soil every year to grow and plant annual crops. And it's incredibly productive, far more so than growing a field of corn. And it saves the soil, in fact, it builds soil as it's growing food. There's lots of projects around the world now, from backyards to an 80-acre food forest in Detroit to a 50-acre food forest down in the Wairarapa, James Cameron's property. And the need to build alternatives to that industrial monoculture system are not just coming from the grassroots, they're coming from the likes of United Nations, who for decades have been saying that the future of food has to become small-scale, intensive, local, and use natural growing methods. So they don't know how to do it, but they understand that that's where we need to go. I've had the pleasure recently of meeting some young urban farmers, and I want to talk a little bit about some of these characters. Bailey Perryman, for example, is down in Christchurch, and he, along with a number of colleagues and friends down there, are growing food in the inner city of Christchurch and have been since the earthquakes there. And he's recently been funded by Vodafone Foundation to the tune of $100,000 a year for up to 3 years to build a network of urban farms propagated and powered by the next generation. And I think, yes, that's the kind of initiative that we need. Jean-Martin Fortier and Curtis Stone, the two Canadians who are friends of Stefan Sokoviak, who came here to this property in March this year to run a workshop about food forests and get some work established just on the other side of the house over here. So Jean-Martin and Curtis, they figured out how to start a farming enterprise on minimal investment and quickly produce abundance of crops and do it in a way that is incredibly profitable. Jean-Martin's been cultivating an acre and a half for the last 10 years. Last year, he grossed $150,000 worth of vegetables off his acre and a half at a 50% profit margin, and he did that in 8 months, right? So he's got another, 4 months for his what he calls his retirement income, yeah? And Curtis does the same thing. He makes the same sort of money, but he's doing it on land that he doesn't even own. He gets little backyards and front yards all around Kelowna, which is a kind of suburban area, a bit like Wanaka. And he, on a third of an acre of land, as I say, that he doesn't own, he makes about $75,000 a year in 8 months. So these guys are both coming to New Zealand in February next year. But they're doing a joint venture now, which is to create a website to sell all the things that an urban farmer needs. So from tools, lightweight machinery, courses, and even apparel. You know, you got to look good when you're out there on the farmer's market, right? Or talking to your customers as they come to pick up their box of veggies every week. So when I look at what organizations like Ubi and people like Jean-Martin and Curtis are doing, I see that sustainable, profitable models like that have the potential to scale rapidly. And I don't mean scale by get bigger in and of themselves, but scale through replication. Right? So we can actually disrupt and change the system quite radically. And Jody Roebuck, who's another one of these young urban farmers in Taranaki, gave me this beautiful phrase just this week, and he said, "Farming is the new surfing." Yes. Yeah. So could it be that we're on the cusp of a much needed transformation of our food system? One that will bring it closer to home and treat the land, the soil, and the water with the kind of reverence that it deserves? I hope so, because many people today are holding the vision for that, because the benefits of it are profound and far-reaching. Access to land, healthy soil, healthy food, healthy people, and healthy community. So when you see these local food enterprises popping up, get behind them and support them, because they're creating your future and the future of your children. Thank you.